This One Up podcast is brought to you by Codemasters Race Driver, Create and Race. Designed from the ground up for Nintendo DS, Race Driver, Create and Race lets players race the world's most formidable sports cars and then lets players create their very own circuits with a full track construction kit.
Drawer, eye on the closed door, scarred mind, scaring mind, what you're wearing those for? Fruitcake upholstery, hedgehog fantasy, other kin otaku, fanfic furries, babe in the woods strikes a buffalo stance, fig leaf falls off, juggalos dance. I know not to click the clip, next time I sense chicks with dicks, sex crime, talk show host, contemplate the cause of Columbine, meanwhile most kids masturbate to pork, you practically sickly, prickly, screwy, marsupial mascot, that's not beauty, so fine, sue me, online newbie, sonic strip nudie ain't a work safe movie, dumb dumb, did you do a daggum YouTube, darn cartoon, turn far too lewd, I know not to click the clip, next time I'll dial Dateline quick, direct line. Talk show host, contemplate the cause of Columbine. Meanwhile, most kids masturbate to porcupines.
Hello and welcome to GFW Radio. This is the podcast for October, or as I like to call it, Rocktober 4th, 2007. And I'm here alone in this room. Nobody here. Oh, here you guys are. With all the regular staff plus a permanent extra sixth chair. How many chairs do we have? Six? Six chairs.
Six people, yeah. Six chairs. We actually have seven
Mr.
chairs.
Mr. Robert Ashley slept his way into the sixth chair. He's here with us again today.
Hello.
Hello. And all the rest of the guys are as follows.
Ryan Scott.
Darren Gladstone.
Sean Elliott.
Sean Malloy.
We got a full crew, gentlemen.
We do.
It's awesome.
Pretty awesome.
Fairly awesome. Well, we did just
and that's the show. Oh wait, it's that joke again. So we're all here. We're just off deadline, so we're a little bit tired. I apologize in advance that we're a couple days late. But fuck you, we have jobs. We have to work. Also that intro that you just heard. I'm supposed to read a disclaimer that those opinions were not. The opinions of Ziff Davis,
or even Noah, or even me,
or any members of the staff, including Sean.
Yeah. Yeah, just in case you're a brand new listener and don't know the legacy, you know, of the whiskey urn or whatever. Just it's a character, and so it's a caricature. And so, in other words,
dude, this is like a Spinal Tap interview.
Yeah.
tell me about the mythology. Just to say, of the
but it's one
nerd.
More.
But I mean, like, you know,
what does he have a name? The new character.
That's the same.
That's
old,
the Whiskey Nerd. That's
Whiskey I haven't Nerd. Heard it yet. Oh, it's Whiskey Nerd is back.
Yeah, just a little angrier than
awesome.
Usual.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a couple parts that are, you know, potentially offensive. I just want to say that don't
you
stick
could be
those
mad at
points
at
of view to me
nerd.
Any more than you assume that the bottom of my computer desk is loaded with booger stalactites and all the other parts of the legacy.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but you got that line from somewhere about the booger stalactites.
Huh?
That was funny because it's true, I think.
Oh. I got it from your visiting your office, dropping off folders.
from your mama.
If you've ever had a car or something, and you know most of us have, especially in high school, and you're driving your friends to the mall, and one of those pieces of shit is always going to wipe a booger somewhere in your car, and you look over and catch him. Like, what are you doing, dude? Or like sunflower seeds. You know, I have like a friend eating sunflower seeds in the back, and we stop when we get out to go somewhere. You look in the back, and the whole. You know, floor is just covered in them.
I don't think I'd let anyone get into my car with sunflower seeds. I guess you can't stop the nose picking.
So you can't let Sean in your car then. Like, you drive Sean around, he's got to spit sunflower seeds out the window for, like, the entire time.
Yeah, you eat those a lot. Yeah. You kind of got an addiction.
Got
there.
A thing.
They're good.
Got
a salty. Thing. Is it the salt?
I have these dill pickle flavored ones. They're pretty good.
Ew,
dill flavored sunflower seeds,
like jalapeno. on that car Schwielen thing.
Yeah,
there was one time when I think I had a cold for a while, and so the entire passenger seat was about knee deep in like dirty snot rags. And I took a friend, and we went to the Indian Reservation Casino, and he sat up there, and he was like, you know, pretty much up to his knees in this shit. And then when we got out. he opens the door and he just starts shoveling it all, you know, and inside there too, there was, you know, other crap, you know, like fountain drink cups and shit, you know. And he just shovels it all out into this massive pile, like in the parking lot. And then right then, like one of the reservation cops comes up and goes like, whoa, what's this? And we were like, oh, shit.
I thought
we just said it was there. We got away.
I thought you were going to say, like, Iron Eyes Cody came up to you, like, with his, like,
that's what I was picturing,
down.
The tear. Yeah.
No.
That leaves a sour flavor.
But I asked him, why he did that, and he was just like, because I didn't want to sit in it anymore.
Foul. Yeah, you got to not do that at an Indian reservation, though.
It was messed up.
It's about sacred gambling.
That's guess, right.
And there's no room for litter.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, yeah, we made you all live here, and also here's our fucking garbage.
Like I said, I didn't throw it out.
But the high school,
I'm
going to
say you shouldn't do that anywhere.
Really?
Litter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you with your political correctness.
I'm just saying.
Damn hippie.
Yeah, like in like a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was a couple months ago. Remember, Robert, we were driving through Oakland, and the car in front of us is throwing out like full, you know, those jumbo McDonald's bags that you get
when
you're feeding your whole fucking family. Like they're throwing those out of the window. It was like that old ass game, APB, you know, the first edition, just to like stop the 15 litter bugs.
Yeah,
and then
so
like 64 really ounce cups. And Robert's just like, what the fuck is this? Yeah.
Well, you know, I grew up with don't mess with Texas, which is some sort of like thing they drill into your brain that if you litter, you will be like shot and buried.
And that's like for real. They're
unmarked,
not
graved.
Yeah. In Texas, that's like Samaritan not an idle threat.
Yeah, we had these commercials where, you know, it would be like a guy driving his truck down the highway and he throws something out of the car, and then the Texas Rangers Air Force like comes out from the distance and swoops down on them, and it's like, don't mess with Texas. So when I see people throwing stuff out of their car, I'm like, oh my God!
Texas is coming!
Yeah. Yeah, that total non sequitur. That actually, you just reminded me of I was on some press junket years ago down in Texas, and the PR guy was driving me around like we were gonna go to like check some stuff out. So some other guy like across the highway hits some other car and does like a hit and run and just peels out. So the PR guy with like, you know, three or four editors in the back goes, we're going to get that guy. So it's like turns into a high-speed car chase trying to track down the guy who's
holy shit.
Trying to get the license plate number so he can like call it into the cops.
Vigilante justice.
Telling you. Definitely don't mess with Texas.
Yeah, I remember the first time I ever went there when I for some press thing, and I went to check into the hotel, and there was a sign on the hotel thing that was like, I guess this is probably common to you, Robert, but for me it was like there was a sign right on the fucking Hilton Hotel, whatever I was staying at, and it was like, well, it's probably like a DoubleTree, not a Hilton. Mm. But it said, you know, no firearms allowed in the hotel. Like, they have to put a sign out for that? They're like, so many people have come in with guns, they had to put a sign out.
That's actually a sticking point, because, you know, you're allowed to carry a concealed handgun in Texas. So it's, like, annoying for a lot of people who do carry a gun around in a holster that you got to, like, you know, leave it in your car if you're going into the mall.
Damn.
Because what if you need your gun in the mall?
That is.
Yeah, you might.
You know, there are zombies.
In the Berkeley
there.
Hotels, it's like, don't bring your bong in.
Yeah.
I think it's okay if you bring your bong in.
No, they just have them there.
Just don't spill the bong water.
Just choose our drink. Okay.
Just, you know, don't bogart it.
Did I ever tell the story? I mean, I know, like, privately I've told Robert, but the story about, at least on the podcast, about the Rainbow Six event?
Nuh-uh.
No,
I think
so.
Back of the van.
Like, oh, no, no. I think you did mention this story.
It's worth telling.
Tell it again.
So, for a Rainbow Six event over at the Embarcadero, Ubisoft put together a thing where they brought up some SWAT members from Southern California. They suited us all up in SWAT gear, you know, with masks, vests and everything, communication headsets, gave us model MP5s, but they were, you know, the Japanese sort that you get there that are like 100% accurate looking. They just fire pellets instead. And then we're suited up, and they gave us some basic training for, you know, group movement and stuff, how to clear a room and this and that. And then we were to get in this unmarked van with blackened windows and drive across the Embarcadero to some of the vacant buildings where they had staged, and they had people playing bad guys that we were supposed to shoot there. And we were supposed to, you know, rescue some hostage or something. But so in the course of this, as we're driving over, and this was a year after 9/11, so that's important for the environment, and I mean for the context of the story and the way that, you know, moods and anxieties were. And so as we're driving in this unmarked van across the area, a cop pulls us over.
Oh, my God.
And meanwhile, we're in the back. There's about six of us in the back, and we're all suited up in this. We have the MP5s over across our chests. And the guy driving the van is, like, you know, in the same outfit as well. So we get pulled over, and immediately I rip the mask off and I put the thing on the gun on the ground. I'm like, everyone, if you have like a brain cell in your fucking head, take that shit off and set it on the floor now. Because if that guy opens the back of this truck, he does not know what the hell's going on.
Oh my God, he's going to, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, that's not going to be pretty. So he was talking to, you know, of course, to the guy driving, and since he was SWAT, he was, you know, very expert at what he did. He knew how to speak to another law enforcement agent.
The guy driving was actually really a SWAT.
He really was,
okay,
yeah.
So, and he had his badge and all
He was saying, yes, but of course, he was fully suited in this assault gear. So he's like, you know, to get my ID and to get, you know, the paperwork, you know, this is a video game industry event. Mm-hmm. It involves, you know, mock firearms and all this stuff. To get my ID, I'm going to need to reach into my stuff. Uh-huh. And the cop was so like, oh, yeah? And so he like very, you know, he of course very slowly pulls, you know, gets his ID out and shows the paperwork and stuff. And I guess he must have read a note that said, there's a bunch of dipshits in the back of here pretending to be, heroes. Please don't shoot them with your real gun.
Oh, they should have so fucked with you that the driver and the cop could have like passed some little note like, let's fuck with these guys.
It was anticlimactic too, because then we go for the raid in the building and we were already keyed up, and it was like, of course, running around at that point now with the actors and stuff wasn't going to be anywhere
near as exciting as the fact that, like,
yeah.
Yeah.
You guys should have, like, gotten out and, like, surrounded the cop with your guns.
Yeah, that would have been rad. That would have been...
On your knees!
Epitomized wisdom.
Mm-hmm. So, in case it's not obvious, we came down here with kind of no agenda.
Yeah. We've been playing a lot of games, though.
But we have. We came down to agenda one because we were on deadline two, because we've all been playing a lot of stuff. So, we didn't have to make any kind of artificial list this time. Mm-hmm. So... Like, what have we been playing? What have you been playing, Mr. Robert Ashley?
I was playing some Team Fortress 2 with Sean last night, actually. And I've been playing a lot of Halo and Skate.
Skate?
Uh-huh. Skate.
Is Skate the game that has the period in front of it?
I think it has a period after it.
Oh, Skate period?
It's a declarative sentence.
Yeah.
Oh, you shall skate. It'd be kind of interesting if it was period Skate.
Yeah.
That's what I thought it was. It's Skate period.
It's a cool game if you ever wanted to be a real skateboarder. I was a terrible skateboarder. But
so it's like a skateboarding sim.
Yeah, it's like the Gran Turismo of skateboarding, I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
it's supposed to be awesome.
It's good.
Is it? It actually is kind of fun. It's not like the Tony Hawk games where you like do like button mashing and combos and stuff. This is actually like
It's the one that's like at the street level, the camera.
That's the,
the
one.
It focuses on your feet and you're just sort of let loose on this big city. It's really cool. It's pretty difficult. Like, the people who are really good blow my mind, but like in real life, I'm not that good.
You gotta wonder if Tony Hawk and Bam Margera and all them are like playing more Skate than they're playing their game.
I'm sure. Yeah. It makes Tony Hawk look pretty ridiculous.
That's one of those games. Like if it had come out when we were still kids, it would have just been the most insane shit ever. Because I mean, how many of us at least you said you tried skating.
Yeah,
I mean, we're all about 720 TNC Surf when that came out for Nintendo.
Skate or die.
And I mean, you couldn't get further away from skating than, you know, 720 in the arcade was much better than like TNC and Skate or Die, I thought. But like,
yeah,
even at that point, it was ridiculous. I mean, it was like the game where they send in the bees to kill you when they want more quarters. You know?
I would have played any game with a skateboard when I was a kid, like any game. But
did you play Back to the Future on the NES?
I did play Back to the Future on the NES.
Okay.
Yeah. What was that? Did that have skateboarding in it?
Of course, man.
Yeah.
Marty McFly skateboarded.
You're right, I know, but...
It was a very terrible game.
Horrible. It's so authentic, though, now. Like, I mean, those games, the board would look like a popsicle stick with roller skate wheels on it, you know? But we still played it, because that's all there was.
And, but back then, that did seem realistic, didn't it?
But it wasn't, though. No, for you, Jeff, I'm talking about, like, 80s. I'm not talking about... The 70s scene. The 70s scene, like, you know, around Venice Beach and stuff, you know, Dogtown. Yeah. So I mean, it just it wasn't true to what anyone was doing, but we still wanted it. Nowadays, mm-hmm. it's like, I mean, it's the actual skaters themselves are in the things and stuff, you know, but yeah.
That's kind of my only problem with that game, though, is it's like the marketing inside of it is just really annoying.
Oh, yeah,
like,
the sneakers and shit.
Every time you meet a new real skater, they, like, zoom in on his shoes and, like,
really?
The wheels
they
on his
their clothes longer.
Yeah. Wow.
And, like, tell you the brands of every, like, component or, like,
that's all important for teenagers, though, man. I mean, because, you know, you would want to wear, like, Pal Peralta gear, and you wouldn't be caught dead with, like a kamikaze. You know, your mom went to Costco or something and brought back a kamikaze. and then the next 10 minutes later, you go skating with your friends, and someone's like, I want to be a skater. I want to be a skater. He got a kamikaze because he can't afford a gator. Or, like, you know, like, randomly. That's how that shit is in that era. Yeah. I mean, not in that era, but that age group. It very much is about, are you signifying with the right? Is the triangle on the back of her Guess jeans upside down? Does it mean it's from the swap meet?
Yeah.
And then from Mexico or something, you know? So kids see that and they're like,
it's true.
Those are my dogs he's wearing. I'm like, I'm trying to get those pants.
So you think that in skate that the kids playing it are actually thinking that's cool?
I think so, yeah. Kids probably. In that, but imagine you're between 8 and say like 16 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to us now, I hope it looks ludicrous, but if it doesn't, hey, cool.
I mean, I could
yeah,
see
but,
like the
but
clothes.
Sean, if it was like WoW gear, you'd be all into it.
If they like oh, yeah. totally,
if they zoomed in on like some you know
man,
warlock
some,
yeah. insignia,
is that tier 5?
that's some legendary sneakers, man.
I just think it's weird that they zoom in on like the trucks on the skateboard. I mean, I could see like shoes and clothes, but when they're going into like the detail of the little bits of hardware that they've all you know bought advertising for in the game.
Bearings.
It's weird, mm-hmm. you know? Okay, there aren't bearings, but still there are.
then they're not legit. That's for the sequel. That's for the sequel.
Man, I gotta know what kind of bearings this guy's got.
Actually, that's the 500-point downloadable content pack coming at you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So is it all the consoles, 360? Or?
Yeah, it's PS3 and 360, okay. But I've only played it on 360.
You want to play the 360 version?
Yeah.
For the downloadable content.
Of course,
right?
Does it use six axis?
So you can you know you can just like get on there and like skate around with your friends, which is fun. Like I'm way into like co-op stuff right now, and I don't play mm-hmm. I don't play that game for points. You know, I just want to skate around like I would in real life if I didn't suck. So
yeah. I broke two arms that way, and that was the end.
Yeah, for real, you broke arms. Yeah. So what did you do?
Just doing stupid like pissant stuff, just ollies and crap, and yeah. After the second one, I was like, yeah.
Well,
I'll be a pussy
good.
And quit.
But I'm not going to play it.
Yeah.
Ride bikes and...
I could barely pogo ball, so I'm not going to escape.
I played the first Tony Hawk. That was good.
Tony Hawk was a year of my college experience.
Really?
Yeah.
How's your GPA that year then?
It was pretty good, but I was an English major, so, you know, it was like, it was a part-time job. Tony Hawk was my real, you know, full-time job. And me and my roommates just sat in our apartment playing that game for hours and hours. It was insanely stupid. I would love to go back and reclaim those hours.
I'm so glad that one thing about being older is that, you know, when we wanted to goof off with games, we had to like leave the dorm and go to the pinball arcade to then blow our money.
Yeah.
And then it costs a quarter of the time. I mean, you had to make effort to lose that much time, and then you were confined by how much money you had. If I had a frickin' video game system in my room, geez. I'd still be there. I'd be like year 26 of my BA. I swear, Dad, I'm going to graduate. There's 5 more credits.
I got 10 degrees at this point. But
yeah.
Yeah.
The willpower, especially at that age, I would think, to like turn the shit off and do your work. Well, God damn, with no parents around.
Luckily, I had to move into the dorms my second year in college, and I had the most nightmare roommate ever. Whose name was Mike Gresham, if he's out there. he's not.
Why'd that make everyone laugh?
Because call out to him.
When you call him out by name.
But I think, but the reason I say it is because like I remember certain names from like my youth. And sometimes when you just say the name, like that's enough to make people laugh.
I just laughed that he had no discretion in that.
Up comes David fucking Sarmiento. And it's like people are just like, oh,
whoa,
there's Sarm.
No, this guy was amazing, though. Like, he was a really, really hardcore Christian and would actually pray for me at night, like, out loud while he was laying in bed, like, pray for my salvation.
Wow. Obviously, it did no good.
It did no good. And yeah, he was just always in our apartment or in our dorm room, and he would always, like, you know, blow his nose into Kleenex and leave the Kleenex on the ground all over
in
the place.
Car.
And his, like, little, like, you know, stained underwear. It was disgusting.
Those were stigmata.
I stayed at the library so much that year. It was awesome. Like, I studied more than I'd ever studied in my entire life. So.
Dude, don't get on it.
Yeah, we could go off on our college roommates for the
seriously.
I was just going through the stories.
Well, it's tempting that, like, finding dookie drawers in people's houses. I got a lot of stories about those.
You have lots of stories about going through people's underwear drawers?
No, just finding them. Like, you go to the bathroom and they're hanging up on the shower thing to dry or something. And then this other time, well, okay.
How do you have multiple stories about this?
And they're connected, too. Okay, so one.
It's a tetralogy.
And they both involve, they always involve siblings. So. These one brothers, Jerry and Larry, their mother's name was Mary. That's no joke. So we're over there, and me and this other kid, Jason, are there, and he goes to use the bathroom, and he comes running out holding these, like, underwear, and they got, like, a big, you know, skid mark on them, and he's just laughing and screaming, and he's like, Jerry, you shit your pants. And then Jerry was like, those are my mom's. Leave my mom's stuff alone. But they were very clearly, like, men's tidy whities, you know, with, like, the schlong hole in the front thing.
And the air vent.
To cut that story quick, basically that was, like, humiliating for him. But then the next year, Jason had two brothers. He had a twin brother named Shane, and then his little brother Trevor. And they would always have this situation where one of the older brothers would share a room with the younger one, or they'd switch so the two older brothers had one. And during one of these phases, we went over to help him move the furniture from one of the rooms into another. And we pull out the dresser to take it to the other room. And down behind there, there's, like, a stack of shitty underwear. And immediately, you just start screaming and laughing. And he's like, dude, those are Trevor's. Those are Trevor's. And then Trevor, the little brother, picks one up. And it's all, like, total. Like, Trevor was, like, 6 years younger, you know. He's like, these are mine? He's a little shit talker. Those are the guys when I talked about skin farting, where, like, you do that. And Because actually there was one time we went camping and we had, like, this big sun tea jar, like a wide mouth, and we loaded that up with gas. And then when one of them went to sleep, like, you could put the mouth was so wide on the bottle.
Oh, no.
You could put it straight over his, like, nose and his mouth.
I just want to paint a picture for listeners that Sean's talking here, and five of us are, like, holding our heads in our hands as this conversation's going.
That shit is child.
Like, Sean, fuck.
That's okay, the final two more stories on that. No, these were good kids. They had this shitty St. Bernard, and, like, their whole yard was nothing but, like, a St. Bernard mud pie because of the thing. But inside their house, I swear, there was so much shedded St. Bernard hair that if you started in a corner and you started peeling up the layer, you could have pulled out the floor plan of their fucking apartment, of their house, made in St. Bernard hair, and then laid it out in the street.
Wow, they didn't vacuum
the
house?
And this is a family that when the dad made dinner one time, we all sat down. Jason comes up to the table after it's set, pulls his sweatpants down, and backs his cheeks up onto the table and farts across the meal that the dad had just prepared and set down. And we're already sitting there waiting to eat, you know. And then just pulls the pants back up, sits down, and grabs his fork. Wow. I'm not – that's what
– wow. Yeah,
that's some serious shit.
Where did you grow up?
Lakeside, California. I grew up in quite a few places, but this is all in Lakeside. It's like east.
Did it involve a trailer park?
Yeah. It definitely did. Yeah. It definitely did.
Sweet.
Just not what my family meals were like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, games. Team Fortress.
Oh, yeah, right.
Team Fortress is – I'd say we talk about that because Ryan has got a confession – I know you played it, Jeff. Mm-hmm. Sean's played it, Lil Darren's played, and Robert was introduced to it last night. But
really the big news, I think, here is Ryan.
Let's hear it, Ryan.
Yeah, I've been playing the hell out of Team Fortress 2 for the past 4 or 5 days, yeah.
How many hours have you left?
Let's say it was so little drama, man. You need to, like...
Yeah, the guy who never plays first-person shooters.
Right, this is a dramatic turning point.
The guy who refused to play Bioshock because it's a first-person shooter.
Right, did you play the Half-Life?
He just made a poo face.
Did you play the Half-Lives?
No.
So this is significant.
I played Doom 2.
Okay, so what got you to do this?
Well, I got curious enough to try it after, watching Sean play for a while on one of our computers here, and ended up liking it.
What got you curious, though? I'm curious.
It just looked cool. I like the art style.
Like the cartoons?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, it
I
worked.
Do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Sean was telling me about just how some of the classes worked. And, you know, I don't like to aim in shooters because I suck at aiming. That's why I like Metroid Prime, because you have a lock-on and you can lock on enemies and shoot and you don't have to be good. So
there are classes for you in Team Fortress.
There are. There are many.
There's a home for you.
You know, like the medic, you know, Egon and his proton pack.
Totally.
You don't got to aim with him. And then the engineer, you build turrets. They aim for you. It's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Pyro and heavy weapons guy. Yet a few more classes were made for people who like to hold a button down and get points.
Yeah.
Wow. He says with no with no attitude whatsoever.
Is this step one in you becoming an altogether new man?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, you're not going to be like on the Pickup Artist next season. You're not going to turn it all around.
Beauty and the Geek.
No. All right.
See, this game's simple. This isn't like super complex.
That's like part of the success of this game. I mean, everyone wants to play it. And, I mean, before we came in, we were just talking about similarities between, you know, when you hear me talk about this game, how much it sounds like someone talking about fighting games or something. And Ryan, you've been saying the same, but except for MMOs, when we're bitching about nerfs and buffs and stuff, and when we rage quit when we can't handle like a pyro getting too many critical hits or something.
Yeah, like you did the other night.
Yeah. But what they did here, though, is instead of like, you know, going for increasing complexity, like, which is almost always the trend. And at some point that was in the plans for Team Fortress, putting a commander in and all these other things. It's just like, make it, you know, as complicated as you can. I mean, they actually did the opposite and said, let's make it, you know, more simplistic than Team Fortress Classic even. Mm-hmm. And it's working, especially for, I mean, I'll talk about mine later. I'll let Ryan continue. But like, I mean, apparently, right, Ryan, you feel like you can get in it, like you're saying, and have a good time and feel like you're still doing something.
Yeah, I think this is an important public service we can provide here by having Ryan talk about, you know, the fact that you were able to get into it so easily. Because I think it's still probably a lot of people's big fear is that I can't play this multiplayer shooter because I will go in and get my ass kicked and not have fun. Right?
Right.
You think that that's still probably the bias?
It totally is. Yeah. I mean, like if you're going to play, you know, Counter-Strike or something, you can go in there and expect to get shot in the head and spend 3 minutes watching the team members that know how to play.
Right. Even Halo, right? Same deal. You go in and get your ass kicked on multiplayer.
Yeah, not to the extent of Counter-Strike. I think it's the epitome of it because of the weight system.
But you got Quake Wars coming out. That's coming out today, right?
But it's out yesterday. Yeah.
But you're not. You didn't feel this even from the start, Ryan, that that it was just too overwhelming to get into, and you.
It doesn't seem like it to me. I mean, there's some really, really good people on there, but
doing what you're doing, the fact that you're not at the bottom of the point ladder, you're not dying every second. I mean, especially when you start off as the medic, I'd say that's a great way to learn because you heal yourself when you heal an ally.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't realize that.
And if you team up with someone who's, you know, a powerhouse or who's, you know, playing, you know, very well, it'll keep you protected for the most part.
Is that your main class right now, is medic?
The one that I've clocked the most time with is engineer. Mm-hmm. And then medic is a close second. Sean's showing me the engineer tricks.
Can you see getting into one of the, like, soldier or scout classes?
You know, I went through and tried all the other classes, and the dudes, you know, the big Twitch classes, like the soldier and scout and all that, like, those aren't for me.
Not for Ryan. But you could do pyro and heavy weapons, though.
I didn't like the heavy either. He's too slow.
Yeah, that's the. It's funny because, you know, for the rage quit, and like right now, they just buffed the pyro and it pisses me off. Because the way the thing works is like, okay, he's kind of like the new medic insofar as instead of infection that's going to continue to sap your health, he sets you on fire. Mm-hmm. You have to run to water, find a medic, or find, you know, a health power up on the ground, which is fine. Which is totally cool. It makes sense if you're going to have a pyro, right? But in addition to that, now the direct flame damage he does is just massive, enough to kill any class in like a second of sustained fire. And I don't know. I think maybe they should dial it back a little so he has to be even, you know, the range on it, because he's got pretty good range for that. And just those things together, I mean, you just see when you see half of a team as one class,
this sounds like an MMO nerf kind of thing, because at the first week when it came out, I remember being on servers where everybody was complaining about that the pyros were too weak.
Right, and then it's going to go the other, and that's
right,
how
it
is.
Like for,
so right now, someone's listening. Someone who plays pyro and who loves it, and he's like, "Oh, shut the hell up! Shut the hell up! He's perfect." it's funny, you know, you look at the steam powered forums, and the threads are just full of like one of them is hilarious. It's this awesome joke post, and it's someone started a thread, and it seemed as if. Well, actually, it reads – the whole thing is ironic, though. But it's like, you know, I can't believe they messed up my pyro. I want to be able to do this. And it's like he's saying he expects to have the speed of a scout. He expects to be able to, like, instantly incinerate people from, like, 20 feet away and all these other things, you know. And then people got in there to say, like, well, I don't know. That's a little too much. Ridiculous. But, yeah, it's always like that. I mean, I'm sure they're gonna have a hard time – pleasing everyone and just getting that balance, but then it's something they can continue to tweak those variables all the time. I mean, I know a lot of us are pissed at scouts. Some of it comes from the difference. I mean, the experience of Team Fortress Classic too. So like seeing a scout kill you, sometimes they can get a critical hit on you and kill you in a single shotgun blast at close range. And it's like, that's just wild. Like that should not be possible. How is a scout going to kill a soldier that rapidly? And so that's kind of hard to deal with, but the other thing is I think the notion of a critical hit, it's definitely there for like Ryan and stuff in some way. I mean,
what does that mean in terms of the game?
That when you're firing at someone on a die roll, and they're loaded dice because, you know, the better you do, the more likely you're supposed to get critical. That's the way that I heard it was set up last.
I just didn't even know there were die rolls.
And it just massively doubles. It just multiplies the damage you do. But it's like in a game of skill, in a competitive skill game, to just start throwing that kind of like randomness in there, that's just anathema to people that take this shit seriously, I think. You know, and it's great when you get one. You're like, hey, I just killed that guy one shot because I got a critical on it. But then when you're getting hit, like a pyro gets a string of critical flame on you, and you're gone.
So it's random?
It is, yeah. I mean, it's random with certain slants on it. So that's what I mean. Like loaded die would be the best analogy to come up in certain ways. So originally, when you look at the commentary mode, what it says is that when you're doing really well, it'll favor you, your likelihood of getting critical hits. And the reason they do this is because to give everyone a sense of the experience of what it's like to be on a really good run that a genuinely good player will get on, where you just feel untouchable for the moment, and then you just continue to get better because you're not worried. You're like, okay, at this point, I'm not concerned. I'm not stressed. I'm just, like, owning this game. And so it's, like, to kind of, like, artificially generate that kind of moment.
So, wait, is that one of the criteria for getting a critical hit, is you have to already be on a roll?
You still have a likely. It's all just percentages. Anyone can get one at any time. You just start the game. You've always got a chance of hitting one.
Okay.
But it's just, like, how frequently. Because sometimes you can get a bunch in a row.
And do other variables matter, like either your aim or your position or how close they are?
I don't know. I haven't seen, like, you know, it's one of those things where we need someone to post the code
right
on a steam powered forums and we could look at just how. But I mean, tell me what you guys think of it. But I mean, I'm curious.
Well, I would think if it did involve any of those things, that would be fair. If it was like 100% random, that just would strike me as weird. Like
it's in there.
What about the sniper? You know, with a sniper scope, does he?
He can get criticals.
Always...
Every class can get criticals with every weapon they have.
The medic?
Medic can get
a critical heal or what? How would that work?
I haven't seen that, but nope, he's got a hypodermic gun and a bone saw. Yeah.
A bone saw?
Yeah. It's like a surgeon's saw. Yeah, he swings it around. It's powerful.
Has this been everybody's main game?
It has been, for me.
It's been my game.
Well, the one game I'm not reviewing, so yeah.
Yeah.
It's to a bad extent because Quake Wars, out. Company here is opposing Fronts, World in Conflict, so many awesome games I've got some opportunity to play, Company Heroes, and I love that game. It's incredible. From what I've played so far, I definitely encourage everyone to check it out. But like, I haven't had time to get into everything else because, well, it's like maybe if I do have time, I'm so tempted to go back into Team Fortress.
Yep.
I turn it on, I'm like, all right, I got to go play it.
Yeah, I don't think any of us have put in any time in World in Conflict, and I know I don't know about others of you, have been getting clamored for our opinions on that, so I do apologize because I don't think any of us have put in the proper time on this yet, have we? I know we all want to play it. This isn't like
a final,
non-interest
a lot of the Did we ever get final copies? Or?
We got a copy, I think, or we got one for review. I don't know what happened after that. We didn't get them from that company.
Get it?
Yeah, but there's that. Universe at War is not out yet, right?
That's not. Stone Banner.
Yeah. And Crisis is coming up.
Yeah, I just played a lot of that. They had an event. That was rad.
Yeah.
How was the event?
I'll let you guys talk about games more. I mean, about stuff you've been playing. But later, I do want to say something about it because it was, like, really, really fun.
Sean Malloy, are you mostly playing TF2?
It was TF2 and then, well, a non-PC game. So I won't talk
about it. Oh, I see.
Oh, that's great.
And WoW, of course. Uh-huh. We have a whole podcast for that, though.
Is the non-PC title Halo?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we've mostly all played Halo.
Yeah. Played that, too.
Should we even talk about that? Do we even want to go there?
Well, hey, we can go there a little bit.
Set it up with actually, a little. All right.
Let's set the mood a little.
Okay.
A little light reading.
So, Return of the Hero of the Web. This is a guy called Shoho, and he comes from Neo Gaming Age Forums. And he was posting in the Halo review thread. So, you know, before the game was launched, and, you know, people are tracking the reviews and building, you know, excitement for the game. Just totally cool. It's fun to do that. Shoho, though, is a little special. Okay. So he tracks he's kind of keeping a countdown, I think, before a certain review went up, and we start off at 15 minutes. He says, "Guys, I'm scared. I'm shaking. I'm cold. It hurts all over my body. The reason why I got a 360 has come to this day. The reason why I started playing the early FPS like Quake and Doom and Wolf and Dark Forces and GoldenEye, it was all because of this day, because of this game. This game will not only be the last significant game of all time, but also the game that will counterattack and kill World of Warcraft and all other Oh My God online phenomenon. Red versus Blue on this. It's going to be... I can't write anymore. I can't. I have to hide under my desk. I just can't. I just can't. But so many don't understand. They don't understand. It's also about the chanting monks. It's about being a super soldier on a dying star and falling from grace with the Carmina Burana soundtrack. That's what it's about. The pink enemy palette, the bright colors and the strange art designs, the mix of tactical only two weapon and frantic doom run and gun library level. It all collided together.
Okay.
That was actually pretty inspirational. I think it is. That made me want to play the game.
Yeah, except for the monks part. What was that about?
That's the theme song. Important.
I like the fact that when he was playing like Doom and whatever it was back when, it was just in preparation for this moment.
For this moment.
It was all building up to this moment.
He knew that somewhere in the future.
One day.
I wonder what it feels like that his peak moment in life has passed.
Yeah, shit. That's got to suck.
Just end it now, man.
There's more to the story. Yeah. Oh, okay. He's got, so 5 minutes in, he posts, Oh, God. Guys, I can't. What if it gets less than a 9.4 on GameSpot? I wouldn't be able to deal with it. I would. Guys, please don't let them give it less than Halo 2. Please don't. Gerstmann, I love you. Don't do this. I know you thought it was fun making Zelda fanboys mad, but you're better than this. There's more to this world than Tony Hawk and GTA series. Jeff, please, I beg of you. Then,
oh my God.
2 minutes to go. 15 minutes to live. Oh, my God. And that's because God is G-O about 6 or 7 times, about 18 D's. Guys, I can't. I'm going to urinate on the floor. God, help me. Oh, God, this is insane. I need some water. This is the biggest moment of my life. I can't breathe. Oh, please, God, be good. Oh, God, be good. Then, this is a weird aside as we're getting down to the moment of truth. He says, man, I can't get enough of the Halo Knights music. And he leaves a link, and then it says below it, NSYNC was such an amazing band. I'm not gay, though. Okay, dude.
This is you posting.
I did not make any of this up. I got the links after.
And is it not a joke? Could this be a joke?
No, this guy has a long history of posting, and you look at it, and every single post is in this. If so, again, you have a case of someone made a joke character, used it for a couple years,
it's
continued. It has account at Team Xbox where he was banned. Because I found the trail there because he was crying about how he can't believe he was banned there. So, okay, and here we go.
Full investigation on this dude.
The moment of truth.
All right.
He goes, yes, GS9.5, yes, yes, yes. That's what's important. Yes, thank you, God. Thank you so, God, for making this the best day of my life. Jeff Gerstmann, you amazing man. You surprised us all. We expected an 8.1 or something. I love you, Jeffy.
Okay, so the best moment in his life, it wasn't the game itself. It was the fact that GameSpot gave it a 9.5.
The game itself had not come out yet. So, yeah, GameSpot gave it a... As opposed to the 9.4, which he was going to...
Hasn't GameSpot shifted to increments of 0.5 by now anyway?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Maybe this is Jeff's alt account.
I don't know. That's some crazy-ass shit right now.
Were other people posting in between these rants?
Yeah, I didn't read them because I was in a hurry.
Yeah, they were, and they were mostly making fun of him.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jeff, you saw it. Yeah, so I sent you the links.
Yeah, but I couldn't tell if it was for real or not.
I wish I could get this passionate about something. I can't.
About a GameSpot review.
Just about anything.
Yeah.
Nothing in my life generates that much excitement.
You the fact that he was shaking, scared, and cold.
I am jealous.
And hurting all over his body.
That he can feel such passion. Yeah.
I feel cold and lifeless compared to this man.
That's like what Equus was about.
Right. This is exactly that.
This is Equus. Yeah. Guy is Henry Daniel Radcliffe on the horse.
Yeah. Are you guys talking about Harry Potter?
No, I'm talking about Equus.
Oh, I've seen it.
Never mind.
So it's about murdering horses.
Right, a theater
pleasure.
Reference for you. A theater reference.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes, it's the theater.
If you play less video games and studied theater like me, perhaps you'd know what I was talking about.
Harumph. I recognize the actor from Harry Potter, though. So I get some points.
You did. Okay, so talk a little bit about Halo. We can do that now that we led in with that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we should take a break before we get into
Okay, we'll take a break. We'll talk a little
suspense.
Bit. A little bit about Halo, just the game, because we've all been playing the
just
game.
Just a little bit. A
little bit. You can fast forward if it bothers you. We're talking about that game again. But it's
just remind
be about
you, you're deciding.
Yes, sir.
Because you haven't played Opposing Fronts, because you haven't played World in Conflict, because you haven't played Crisis Beta.
Uh-huh.
Quake Wars.
Because you haven't played Quake Wars,
uh-huh.
You're going to talk about Halo on this podcast. Yep. I just wanted to get that out there.
I'm not talking
about those games that I have played because I don't want to monologue on it. So.
But I will talk about Neverwinter Nights 2 expansion.
Ah,
how about that?
There we go. That's good.
That's PC good. Only game for you there, buddy.
That's some good shit.
Okay. We'll be back.
This 1UP podcast is presented by Enemy Territory Quake Wars. Available on PC October 2nd.
3, 2, 1. You're the best around.
Listen to EGM Live, the weekly podcast for Electronic Gaming Monthly, available every Monday for download at egmlive.oneup.com or podcast.oneup.com or the iTunes Music Store.
Sweep the lake.
Sweep the lake, Johnny.
Sweep the lake.
Filled with dicks, tunnel full of dicks.
That song was sent to us graciously by Michael Althaus.
Yep.
Althaus. Thank you, Michael. Yes, you made us laugh very much, and we promised you we would play it, and so there it is.
You got it.
Yeah.
Robert hasn't heard it.
Actually, I heard it. I saw it on the – there was a thread with it linked, and I listened to it.
Oh, okay.
Tunnel Full of Dicks.
Yeah.
It was very funny. Yeah. It was on his MySpace page.
Yeah.
Sorry, I visited. It's
kind
I commented.
Of a, kind of a theme song.
I didn't actually comment.
No. So we got it, and now we're back to Halo, huh, Joe?
Yeah, we're back to Halo. A little bit. I'm thinking most of the way through the single player. I've played most of the campaign on normal and then a good chunk of the campaign in co-op on heroic. I found normal in co-op to be too difficult to set. Almost lost Ryan there. Ryan somehow came out of sync with Earth's gravity.
Whoa, I thought something was like popping out of his skull. Like, it's like an alien.
Yeah, like a Ridley Scott.
Yeah!
Here it is.
Fuck all of them.
That's the thing that's playing Team
Ryan's
Fortress.
Ryan's alien identity finally comes forth. You will all die.
I have the headphone malfunction here.
Yeah.
The heroic in co-op I'm finding to be quite a bitch, and maybe it's just all the way around on heroic. The fucking snipers around every
play,
corner.
Play it heroic single player.
Yeah.
Is it doable?
Because, Jeff, you know, as someone in this building said, you know, you're not really playing the game on – if you're playing it on anything less than heroic.
I'm not really playing it?
And if you've ever played – if you've even touched an FPS before, then you have to play it on heroic.
What, or you're a pussy?
Or something like that, yeah.
That's the intimation, yeah.
That's
see
the word.
I see how it is.
Every time a Halo game comes out, that's the word.
Well, now that all the excuse me. You can delete that. I'm sorry.
Tasty.
I don't know what to do about that. Sorry.
It's in there. It's staying.
Smells like turkey.
If that's not edited out, I had two Diet Cokes before we recorded it.
Smells
that,
like
that was kind of waiting
blood
to come
sausage.
Out.
And sauerkraut.
Well, this podcast
the pungency
ground to a halt.
So yeah, heroic mode, what?
Heroic mode is I'm finding it hard. Oh, I know what I was going to say.
Course.
After all this sort of hype has died down, I'm finding it to be a fun shooter.
Yeah. I feel very similar to the way I felt
fun
about Halo
shooter,
2.
Says Jeff Green.
Yep. You can quote me on that for your collector's edition
box. The vehicle
box.
Stuff is super cool to me. I really like
Yeah, that stuff's really levels. Fun. There's a couple of vehicles that I get in and I'm like, what's this one about? Mm-hmm. And then I get out of it and find one that's a little more familiar to me.
They're all very, you know, He-Man-like in appearance and stuff.
Oh, totally.
But the design and the way that those levels play is awesome because it very much, in my experience, encourages risk-taking. It's dynamic. And unlike, you know, playing the game on heroic and going around, you actually feel like you are heroic. You feel like a superhero. You know, the Master Chief that everyone's talking about, the one that deserves to be on the can of Mountain Dew. for an example of this, it would be, okay, you're in a ghost or something. Would you steal that from someone? And I love that mechanic. It's great, and I'm surprised more people haven't copied the ability to jack vehicles. It's a great equalizer, you know, whenever the question is, well, what happens when you give some people vehicles and others don't? How do you balance it? It's a perfect solution. They deserve massive credit for that. It works in single player well. So say you get a ghost, you run it up to the side of a tank, jump off yours, jump onto the tank, stuff a grenade in there, hop back off, get your thing and escape when it blows up. And it's just super fun and dynamic, and dynamic in the sense that it was just characterized by, you know, rapid movement and unpredictable, doing this and that and juking and stuff. Whereas I find, especially on heroic, the infantry combat to be a grueling slog that's based around the game mechanic of the regenerating shield and you coming out, shooting guys, going back, waiting for your shield recharge, shooting the next one.
Yeah.
And because of that, too, you know, you hear so much about, you know, the AI is so good or this or that. And that's another note to make. The AI does not change on between difficulty levels. Rather, it might seem more intelligent. And this is a good thing because it gets to live longer. And in general, Halo, even on normal, Halo enemies live longer than in many other games. And I think for the people that really like it, that's like a one of its strengths, you know?
Right. And I think that was my issue with playing in heroic, just to go back to that for just a tangent here. But the brutes, for example, take like four clips. Or I mean like four entire weapons you can throw down on the ground just before
someone's
they go down.
Someone's going to be telling you, you need to use your carbine and shoot them in the head.
Right. I know. Someone's going to be telling me that. But then the other mechanic, of course, is the... psychic sniping that right. they add.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because of that, for back on the AI real quick, it's like what I mainly see in the game because of it is guys that come out, they're by cover, they kind of sidestep a bit, they make a noise, mm-hmm. sidestep some more, go back to cover, maybe make a noise, and then come out and do that. And, well, you know, like, so I've seen people criticize, you know, in other games where it's like, oh, well, because guys would never leave cover. In if they were smart, if they're truly smart, but sure. But if you want to have fun, in my mind, in this kind of game, and this is a difference, it was kind of having a message board discussion. I kind of like came to see this about the way I think, and it was interesting, you know, kind of revealing is that when I'm playing a Brothers in Arms or a Call of Duty, like I come to expect that kind of gameplay, mm-hmm. with the exception in you know Brothers in Arms, of course, you're always work. You have a suppressive fire team that you can rely on when you order them, to, and then that gives you mobility to flank. But in a you know, in a game that's like fantasy or sci-fi or something, I want to be able to, like, I want to run. I like sprint buttons, jumping around, you know, just kind of, I like to play it in the way I would multiplayer. You know, when you play like a really like twitched out Unreal or something, mm-hmm. multiplayer, and you're really taking risks and sometimes it's paying off in like the best possible way. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, boom, snap, got this guy with the rocket. Boom, snap, got this guy. Whereas this is very much like you're saying, you know, you don't want to peek your head out because you'll get shot off by one of those many snipers. You might not have access to something to counter them. I assume also, like, I'm saying single player because I haven't played it in co-op because clearly if you had a multiple help, it's four-player co-op too, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
if you had quadruple the firepower and someone's bound to have something that they can counter sniper fire with.
But even with two people right. in heroic, it's tough to get those snipers.
On your own, though, imagine if you had a battle rifle
can't imagine.
With one clip left in it, and that was it, and every grunt would only drop a pistol.
Yeah. I won't play it that way. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, we beat it on co-op and in heroic, and I decided if I go back to single player, it wouldn't be in legendary, which is like the normal next step. I would go back to normal and just like, mm-hmm. I don't want to deal with this by myself. Because like mm-hmm. you count on the ability to respawn, because that's another thing that you get in the co-op that you don't right. get in single player is if you're dead,
you
come back
immediately.
Yeah, you.
No, there's just like a. You have to wait till the other players clear the area out. But right. You can come back. You okay. do have a.
You come back where your partner is mm-hmm. after they've cleared out the area a little bit. Robert, it is a cool mechanic.
Did you play it on heroic? What's your?
I played the first couple of levels on heroic when I first started playing it by myself, and I went back because I kept on getting stuck, mostly with the sniper thing. I would end up in situations where I had no like long range weapon, and mm-hmm. I felt like I didn't know what the hell I was supposed to do. But I don't know. I don't feel like playing Halo for, you know, a validation of my gamer skills. I feel like I play Halo because I want to like blow a bunch of shit up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
that's
know,
what I want. Yeah. You want to be mm-hmm. empowered. Exactly. You don't want to be, you know, have your alleged, you know, ability to play a game belittled. And that there's so much of that like very tween age. I don't know what the word for it would be, but just proving that you're good at not just proving you're good, but proving that you're worthwhile of this game. Like you have to, it's kind of like the techno Viking, you know, he doesn't dance to the music, but the music dances to techno Viking. Yeah. I was like, are you worthy of Halo? Right. But the thing there is like after a while, I see a lot of people don't counter it. I've never heard anyone say a bad word about heroic. And the only reason it's not just because we love to hate on this game or whatever, and I'm absolutely sincere. It's not just appeasement when I say that those vehicle sections are phenomenal, love mm-hmm. them, fantastic. Mm-hmm. And even the level design for the infantry combat, it's very clearly designed with like to provide a great range of tactical opportunity.
Yep, yep, yep.
So much is good about it. But just specifically just the heroic thing and the badge of honor that it's supposed to imply reminds me of, you know, in high school, not me, but you know the kids that did it. And they smoke pot or something, but one of them, it's not enough to say you smoked a joint. Then the kid's like, well, I had like a 2-foot bong. Then the next guy's, well, motherfucker, I had a 6-footer. And then someone's like, well, I got this big bucket of ice and a 2-liter bottle, and I cut the bottom off of it. And you can imagine from there. So it's kind of like that, you know, it kind of becomes like, you know,
one up to argue about like who did better on the math test, Sean. I don't know what kind of bad kids you were hanging out with.
But what I'm getting at is like imagine if someone would play it, I could see him saying, wow, like I hear so much good about this and it's pissing me off and I'm dying a lot. Maybe I just suck. But it's like people can't tell me I suck at FPS. Like it's mm-hmm. it's bullshit. I know that I'm good. Mm-hmm. So it's like you cannot say, well, you just suck at it. I mean, I could get through it, but it's just not fun to me. And you do mm-hmm. die over and over again. And it's very interesting because, you know, like in the Wired story, the excellent Wired Halo cover story, it makes such an excellent examination of the way that the game is designed and balanced and tested very publicly based on iterating, based on feedback and continuing to iterate so that this is ultimately going to be a game for everyone. It's not the game that sells 6 million copies because every teenager in the country has to have it to have a proper American teenage adolescence, you know, but because they think that people of all walks of life and ages are going to be having it. But give me a break, dude. If me and as much many of these games as I play get to the point of like getting pissed off as hell playing that, even there's even a parts on normal, like the it's a spoiler, but later on in the game there's some things, let's just call them, that shoot lasers from walls. They're the and you like, once again, you know, you're stuck with you're running around trying to find a weapon where you can actually return fire on them. I was wondering like how that Wired story is like, it wasn't matching to my experience. It was like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. This is not the game I read about in this thing, you know?
Well, it is. There are parts that are pretty hard. The only thing I found, not offensive, but sort of like in a give me a break way, the sort of the same attitude you're feeling is when you look at the descriptions of the mode of the different modes and you start heroic and it says, you know, the way it was meant to be played. Yeah. That to me was like, fuck you. It is so not like normal is. Heroic is for the ones who are looking for some kind of validation and or masochistic experience.
It's very masochistic.
Or maybe we all just suck here on this podcast.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me of like the
more lazy,
like Ninja Gaiden, which would pretty much start you off on like that horribly hard mode and then like belittle you like by saying, oh, okay, so it looks like you really fucking suck, so why don't you go back to the
Ninja
easy
we'll give you another pink armband.
It's just the way it's the tone makes a big difference. Even though I knew switching into Ninja Dog mode or whatever would probably make me enjoy it more, I couldn't.
Of course, we even got that, like you said at the beginning of this discussion, we even got that here at 1UP.
Oh, yeah.
We had people saying to us, you're playing on normal?
Yeah.
So,
oh, it comes up in every conversation you have about the game. And it did with Halo 2. When if you had a single complaint, the first thing they would say, oh, did you play it on normal? As though, and because they really believed the AI became more, you know, intelligent and was better on higher difficulty, which is ridiculous because you'd want to show, if you had excellent AI, you'd want to show it off to everyone who played the game. You wouldn't
what
they do is they quadruple the number of enemies. They give them better weapons in the case of the carbine snipers that we were mentioning. They make them more accurate and they give them more hit points. I mean, is that like if say you're playing multiplayer, right? And you want to do that, you want to handicap yourself against all of your opponents that way? I don't know. I mean, hey, if you love it that way, more power to you. I mean, there's nothing wrong about it. You can't be wrong about what you enjoy. But for those of us, when you come up and you go, oh, well, did you play it on heroic? Like, not so fast there, bucko.
It's a testosterone challenge.
Yeah. I mean, it's a similar, like World of Warcraft has heroic mode dungeons where they do the same exact thing. It's like, the mobs have more hit points. And a couple of your skills, for some random reason, just don't work anymore that would have been useful in regular mode. So that they just kind of artificially do it that way. It's kind of same situation.
Are you actually getting kind of bonus out of doing that? Like extra XP
better,
or something?
You get better drops.
Yeah, you get better stuff.
Better stuff at the end.
Yeah. I'm just not very much into playing games nowadays for just the straight-up challenge of it. Although I said I was playing Skate, and that's like a perfectionist kind of game where you try something over and over again. But something like Halo, and especially with what should be a story-driven campaign mode where you're supposed to be this incredibly badass character, I'm just not looking to, you know, get cock-blocked every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
You know?
Right, you got those little tiny guys killing you, and you're like, I don't feel like Master Chief.
Yeah.
But there's, to pick on it, actually, since we're all talking about the same point in the beginning of the game, when you're approaching the dam, because that's when they introduce the snipers.
Yeah.
As you're going through there, did you notice the music that they start playing sound like from like a Walmart training video or something, an employee training video? That was surreal for me. You know, when I got to that part, I heard the little like guys, you know, making their noises. Man, it was funny because, you know, in the
people love that music. You just got like so many people pissed.
Not the Halo theme.
Yeah,
but
not the monks.
There's just this not the monks. There's just
people love the Halo music in general. Even though,
really?
Like when it kicks in, like at the end with like the Irish folk dancing.
It's like Halo River
that
dance.
That part was like surreal because it had the grunt saying like these just embarrassing things. I felt like it was like a kiddie cartoon, you know, and then it was playing the Walmart employee training music, and then at the same time I had like one of my AI guys was stuck running into a wall and all these other things that happen in all games, you know, no matter how good they are. But it was like they all just came together like so perfectly at
perfect
that moment
storm.
That I was like, you've got to be fucking kidding me.
But we do.
You guys
we don't
play
even
it multiplayer?
We don't even need
at all?
To talk
like,
about
have
the
you guys,
story.
Is, or is that something that PC gamers just don't do? Like, oh no, I'm going to play.
I gave it a try.
I haven't yet.
Dude, Team Fortress 2 and Quake Wars came out this week, so it's like it's hard to answer.
Yeah,
that.
When I think about multiplayer, I'm like, I want to play Team Fortress 2.
Most of us played the beta. I played the beta quite a bit.
Yeah.
But now it's just timing. It's like I'm to the point that like I really want to play Opposing Fronts more and more, but it's like I seriously can't get myself away from TF2 right now. Every time, even last night, you know, when you got on, we were like, okay, we're going to play Opposing Fronts tonight. And then you're like, hey, do you want to teach me a little bit about Team Fortress? And we're like, okay, we'll just play a game. And
I said it
that's
just
all
like
we
that.
Did all night. You know?
just Sean, a taste. Sean, will you teach me about Team Fortress?
Did you like what you heard when you got in TeamSpeak?
Yeah, yeah, it was great. I got on TeamSpeak and all I heard was Sean going for like 5 minutes.
I think that was Rory, though.
No, it was totally. Oh, please!
It was me.
You know, it's your filthy underwear. Do not try to point to the guy next to you.
He did it. At one point when you came in, we were just doing this thing where we were calling. I was doing the fat. Pork chop stuck in the larynx voice. Oh, guys, I'm going to be the leader. And then, but I was talking, like, I started calling the heavy weapons guy with followed by a medic, the Nambla pair. And so I was like, guys, Nambla combo coming in. And then, like, as soon as we did that, then I started laughing in that voice, but I was trying to do it, like, so it sounded natural. And then it graded in from, like, the, but into my real laugh. And then that cracked Rory up, and he was laughing so hard, then that made me laugh. And that's right when you logged in, I think.
Yeah.
And then he was also, then after that, he was doing, like, the German accent and asking people if they remember, like, their first Scheisse and asking about, like, you know.
Yeah, and meanwhile, I couldn't get my mic to work, so I'm just listening to them. Just going off for 5 minutes, going, motherfucker, what's wrong with my mic?
Yeah. Then I was playing. Dude, PC audio is the most jacked thing there ever was. It's mainly getting microphones to work, but everyone I know, we try to get the slightest setup thing, and it just doesn't work. Happened to me, Rory, Robert last night. I was like, had him on the phone and my head all craned with that, and I had my headset talking to Rory on at the same time, and I was still trying to play and do tech support for Robert and his microphone.
Yeah.
Is it the same Vista thing that was killing me too for a while?
Maybe it is. Be, I don't know. Yeah. I couldn't figure it out.
But he doesn't have. We have to figure out if. Yeah. Well, let's do
we'll troubleshoot
on podcast
afterwards.
Troubleshooting.
Podcast troubleshooting. Yeah.
Welcome to the troubleshooting.
We'll get to
podcast.
The bottom of it though, and you'll be.
Hello.
You'll
no
be
taking
talking.
Calls. Yeah.
We had. You know, this was crazy. Like we had jumped into a game last week, and I started looking at the names, and it was Robin W. S. Dalton. I don't mean to. Oh crap! I'm giving away gamer tag. Well, actually, these weren't them, but it was basically. Names I figured out were Robin Walker, Scott Dalton, Eric Johnson, basically all the people that made Team Fortress 2. And then I looked at their pings and they're all like one or two. And I was oh shit, this is like Valve guys in here. So on my team, it was some other ones. I didn't recognize them. And I was like, oh crap, what am I going to do? So I just used like the Ralphie voice and was like, are you guys from Valve? And he was. So I was just like, oh my God. Oh my God. And then like right then he was like, okay guys, we're going to need, we're going offense now in Dust Bowl. We're going to need to do this. And I was like, I'll throw my life away for you. I'll do anything. We're going to win for you. You tell me what you want and I'm going to do it. And like just going with that. But then like with some random weirdness. So like now and then someone would, they're talking. I'd be like, I request that you end all transmissions with over, please, over. And then, like, they started doing it. And they were all doing it for the whole game, and it backfired. Because I got so sick of hearing everyone say over after they got done talking. And I couldn't go around and say, I'm sorry, guys, please don't say over anymore. But they were good. They were really good. As you'd expect.
Well, yeah.
Right?
I would hope so.
You have to start, like, recording your conversations.
You were griefing
them. Tell me
well,
was
that one. Wasn't griefing them. Oh, that wow. Was entertaining them. Like, they were – it was – if it even seemed like it was pestering or annoying them and it wasn't making them laugh, I wouldn't have stopped. Because that's the difference, Like, I mean, you hear that kind of nonsense, like, you just laugh at it. And if you get mad, then you mute it or tell them to shut up. And no one ever said to shut up. So I wasn't babbling the whole time. Just now and then I'd be like, you hang back. Let me take care of this for you. I don't want you getting hurt. Just like trying to be this Halo guy, Like, trying to
I love
be,
you, Robin.
Yeah, Banana Rider.
But I really wanted to watch them, though, especially for their engineer play to see where the best SG placement is, way to, you know, block themselves in if they're doing, you know. Because a few tricks I finally found out the console bind commands to detonate all your engineer builds. So that's teleport exit, teleport entrance, dispenser, and sentry gun. Unlike Team Fortress Classic, though, there's no splash damage when you detonate them. Because, of course, what I intended to do is use them as claymores. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when people go to a certain area, I just stack them up there and blow them up. But what I did find out you could do, and this might spread the meme around enough people so that they ultimately change it, but or they just won't care. But it's kind of spiteful in that if you're an engineer and you get the alert that some of your builds are have a spy sapper on them, and you know you're not going to be able to get there in time, you could blow them up on your own, and he won't get the point for taking them out. So it's not really a loss to you, because if you can't get there, you can't get there. You're going to lose them. But just out of spite, you keep someone
just
else
burn
from
him.
You diminish the reward he gets for going after it. So ultimately, hopefully, he won't be so, you know, hell-bent on taking out the pissant stuff like dispensers and shit. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's a new technique.
So you get when you've built a dispenser or something and somebody's taking it out, you get a notification as an engineer.
Yeah,
yeah. And the guy like the
that's
cool
actually a really
like
good point.
Character comes up and he's like, "Spies, snapping my dispenser." You know? I love that guy. That guy's voice is awesome.
That's the engineer.
Yeah.
All the voices are awesome.
Yeah.
I like how the scout's from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And he looks like a bike messenger, some hipster bike messenger with
Bowery
a shotgun.
Boy.
Yeah.
Thanks
a lot.
Yeah. Paper, mister.
I really hope that they put in the lip syncing to the voiceover IP in the way that they originally said they were going to. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was a miscommunication, but yeah, someone at Valve said that. And that, I mean, God, imagine the machinima possibilities there. Mm-hmm. Or even just like making the kind of movies we do. Because when you look at an engineer and you hear that voice, or like if I'm a scout and you hear, "Guys, I'm going to be the leader."
Coming out of his mouth.
And the lips are moving to match it. Then that's when it's bad.
It's kinda, a whole other level.
You would just take a whole match just going, just run around the map with a medic with his mouth wide open.
Screaming. It kind of blows my mind that they're willing to put characters of that caliber into something that's just multiplayer. Like, yeah. I would love to play a single-player, story-driven experience with those characters.
With that cast. Right, because they already have more personality than tons of single-player games, mm-hmm. right? Just looking
Team
at
Fortress
it.
Legends is coming out from a Bandai near you.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it'd be like the Army Men franchise. Have like the Sarge's Revenge kind of
sure.
career.
If they modeled it after Army, that would be good, dude. Army Men.
Yeah. Great game.
It's so much fun. And you guys got to learn. I want to preach the message of the spy to you because, I don't know, you feel so good when you get on a good run with them because it's all about just timing and also just convincing people that you're one of them, you know, but also timing your invisibility. So if you know there's an engineer, you might play some game where you're like, okay, his dispenser's about 10 feet away. I'm going to put something on it and I know he can get to it. But then I'm going to do that, go invisible again immediately and relocate. And then you come back and stab him. But then you go invisible again so a sentry doesn't get you. And then once he's gone, then you can take the sentry out. And in your best run, you're just skipping around constantly, cloaking, changing costumes. You pass by the battlements, then you go sniper and kind of like do like you would if you were playing sniper and just like slowly peek outside the walls though you were zoomed in.
Do the enemy sentry guns recognize you as a spy if you're in costume?
No, they don't. That's the whole nature of the spy is to take out those deployables. Okay. Yeah, engineers, however, can shoot at you all they want because the game is designed so that friendly fire isn't on. Mm-hmm. That's the danger. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's fun.
Spy seems pretty complicated. I mean, I was watching you play it, and I was like, "What? What are
I know.
You doing?
You're
like,
so fast with that too." Yeah. Watching you almost discouraged me from playing Spy.
This is I maybe hearing that like last night when we were playing in the game. I was just joking around with Rory though, and Robert. This was so weird because Robert's mic didn't work, but he could hear us. Mm-hmm. So it's like imagine just listening to us idiots babbling in TeamSpeak and. I was like, man, it's just an art form when I'm doing the spy like this. And he's like, shut the fuck up about your finger painting, dude. And then I was like, all right. And then I went to some other class.
Sean, what's your max number of backstabs?
I don't know. I have to look.
Is it even worth using the handgun with the spy?
Yeah, it's rad. It's very powerful. It's a great weapon. Uh-huh.
That's a good looking weapon.
Don't. Yeah. The thing is with spy, if you know, don't. If you get caught, if you screw up, say someone turned just as you were going for the backstab, and instead you got like a side shank, which doesn't do anything. Don't be dumb and just keep running at them with your knife. You're gonna get shot in the face. Like immediately. Plan on getting away. Like if you don't have enough, if you have cloak and just try to get away, unless it's a heavy, then you're pretty much dead. Because what happens is when you're cloaked, someone hits you, it'll silhouette you a little bit, and because the heavy spits out so much fire, you really have no choice. You're just gonna be like opaque to him anyway, and he'll blast you. But anyone else, if say you're out of cloak and it's someone like an engineer or something, you've got every chance of winning. Just go to your magnum and as you're retreating, buying yourself time for your next cloak and to get more health, shoot them in the head as many times as you can with your magnum, and more often than not, you'll win. Yeah.
Thanks Handy for the tips.
Yeah. That's pro tips, yeah.
I'll have to put that on
holding the, a Team Fortress clinic, blurb. Guys.
Yeah. I'll put that tip. On the write-up.
Tips and tricks for surviving in Team Fortress by yep. Sean Elliott.
I wish you guys got to go to that crisis thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I wanted to hear about that.
You played the beta here a little bit.
Well, I played a little bit of the beta here. Not nearly as much as you. I picked up a couple tricks from playing, and I've got my ass kicked most
so
times.
Far, yeah, and so far as you can say, you play the beta that runs at like 14 frames per second on an 8800 Ultra.
Yeah. Let's just say
really, is it that bad
well,
right
it's
now?
It's hardly optimized. Let's
the,
just put it
the
that
beta
way.
That's out, yeah, they actually, I played multiplayer at this event, and it was like a more recent build. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, I talked to someone there that provided the computers, and they said it was the same card that we have here. All the specs were, I mean, none of them were better. And so I understood that to mean that the build was just optimized, and it ran really well. It was really smooth. So I have faith in that. But again, we're talking about, like, an 8800 Ultra.
Yeah.
Like, dude, if the game doesn't run, I mean, there's all this talk about, you know, it's kind of when we were talking to Chavat in the last week's show. It's like, well, yeah, it's great that you're building for the future, but shit. If with an 8800, I can't even play it at reasonable frame rate today, I'm not so excited about
scary.
The future.
Yeah.
I'll just go back to playing Team Fortress, you know.
Actually, I want to just interrupt to pimp that podcast one more time because it got a little bit lost in the shuffle of our doing two podcasts last week. So if you haven't heard it, if you're listening and didn't know we did this, we spent 90 minutes, right?
About yeah,
90 about minutes.
A long time.
Interviewing Chavat, the CEO of Crytek and the makers of Crysis coming up. And it was a pretty great interview, I have to say. Yeah. Partly because of our questions, but mostly because he was just great with his answers.
Absolutely.
He was super forthcoming. So if you're at all interested in Crysis, go to podcast.oneup.com and look for the Crysis special yeah. there. Okay.
So the single so coming out of that, you know, when we were trying to play, I tried to play the multiplayer beta at home and had the same problem. We tried it here, and then I was like, yeah, I'm just not going to do it. Because for multiplayer like that, you want performance more than you want appearance. You know, I mean, especially when it's that bad. It was just the motion blur was overdone, and they've since fixed that. So anyway, when I go to this event, and, you know, disclosure, it was on the U.S. Hornet, decommissioned aircraft carrier, World War II era. And that was to, you know, to promote the game. And it was a really cool place. You know, I'm into planes, so they had tons of stuff on the inside the hangar. A lot of cool stuff to look at. But the game...
What was the point of doing it there?
You know, because there's some level... They always come up with some random thing, but in the game there's an aircraft carrier level. Mm-hmm. It's also a map for Deathmatch. So it was like, hey... There was another event I went through a long time ago over the Transformers game there, and it was because a boss, it was an aircraft carrier that turned to a robot. So they're like, let's do it there. Can't complain. It was a nice place to
Quit
go.
Quit playing though. With that chair, man.
No. Okay, so when I sat down and played the single player thing, you know, from my E3 impressions, I was already like really convinced that there's some awesome stuff to on tap there. At this level just blew my mind because it was, you know, about three times the size of the E3 demo, and it starts off in the middle of the night, a very cool scenario where you come in and you're with a bunch of other, you know, fellow allied troopers in the way that you would be in Call of Duty or something like that, and they take off and you're like welcome to follow them and play that way, and if you stick with them, it will play out like some of the earlier levels in the Call of Duty game or something where you get the sense of these guys are leading me, and if as long as I stay with them, I'm not going to have to worry about getting lost or whatever, but you can also immediately ditch them and take a boat, you can go in the mountains, you can go on the roads, on the car. I mean, and your objectives are marked out on your map, and you can, you know, like in a battlefield or something, you can hit the map key, take a look at those, click them so that they do come up in your HUD.
as you're out doing this, you know, the sun dynamically rises, time of day changes, and all the stuff's going on. And the size of it at first is impressive, because when you look and you're like, okay, just like in the same way that Oblivion, in that base level when you're playing Oblivion and you see a mountain and you're like, I'm going to try to go there, and you do go there, and you can. But in this, on a little bit smaller scale, of course, because this is just one level in the game, you're like, this is like bigger than the 64-player size Battlefield 2 map or something. And to have that range, and there's still stuff going on because it's designed in such a way so that there are pockets of stuff, or like, if, you know, I was up in mountains and I just started, who's yawning, throwing grenades in a bunch of trees, palm trees all fall over, and then a boat comes up because they saw the palm trees fall over. They start shooting at you. But of course, if you're hiding in the bushes, instead of shooting at you through the bushes, they shoot where the bushes are moving, which is very great. Fallibility, you know, it's like simulating fallibility in the AI is rad, because again, it ratchets up the tension, makes you feel as though there is a threat, but without just like, you're just dead because they've got aimbot or something. And yeah, so just playing this thing was fantastic. The objectives in this case were very simple, ultimately amounted to destroying certain things such as an mobile anti-aircraft platform. But then of course, when you get to it, how you destroy it, if you have a rocket, you can use it. If you have grenades or satchel charges or something, and all those, you use them in the same way you would in any circumstance, like Battlefield. It would be the same as if someone on the other team took an AA platform and you wanted to take that out. And then that failing, which did, because I ran out of explosives, I was like, okay, well, let's find a pickup truck and drive that, very much like Grand Theft Auto, drive that up to the thing, park these bad boys around it, and then blow them up and then cause an explosion that way. But the thing was fun. The AI seemed great, and it was just, again, the graphics do matter. It was so immersive, feeling like I'm going to climb this mountain and then jump off into the water and do like this Greg Louganis dive, and then you see the coral and the fish and stuff, and then, you know, boats come by and they're shooting at you, and you see the bullets coming through the water at you. It's a really...
I got to say, I don't know much about this game, and you talking about it reminds me of like conversations that we would have when we were kids about Super Mario Brothers, where it's like, what the fuck is this game?
Yeah.
Like, you're like, what? You climb a mountain, you jump off into the water, and there's fish in the water, and you're blowing up a gun with a bunch of trucks?
Shit, like, is happening.
What,
dude,
the fuck are you talking about?
okay, there's mushrooms.
Conversations.
Look at it this way.
Like,
here's
there
the
are
analogy.
These fish that have wings and they fly up out of the water. And if you have a mushroom, then you can get hit once and you won't die. But, you know, it's like that kind of stuff where I'm like, it doesn't really make sense to me. Like,
because throwing a grenade at a tree and having the tree fall over is very much like having a mushroom make you big or something. I mean, I have no point of reference for that in my life. It's very much like Mario in that. So let me back it up.
You haven't had the right mushrooms.
No. But, okay, so I'm assuming the point of entry is that all of you have at least played a single-player first-person shooter where you're going along what amounts to a path, and you shoot guys that appear before you, and you continue to move forward. Sometimes there might be an objective that will be like, open this door by blowing it up, by putting a satchel charge on it or something. Or a tank will appear, blow up this tank, or guys in a truck come out, shoot the truck. So take that as your point of reference, but instead of going down that path, it's a very big, you know, it's a sandbox. Very much like, you know, again, like it's like GTA shooter play. So it's this very big field, and instead of the script saying, okay, a tank's going to come out here now or something, or a boat will appear. The boats are already out patrolling, you know. They're already doing their thing in the same way that, you know, police are driving around in Liberty City. And they're alerted by your presence when you arrive, or when you do things that would, you know, reasonably alert their presence, like create explosions, or if they're like a guard in a watchtower, so they're even more alert where they're looking for any little thing. If you're invisible moving through the bushes, they can't see you. That's one of your suit powers. Now it's getting to Mario Land.
Nano suit.
So, yeah, let's just switch it to there real quick, because I think you get that point, right?
I get it.
You get.
I just, when you say climb a mountain, do you mean like a huge mountain? Like
a very big mountain, and I don't mean there's
you don't
like.
You mean like rappel up.
There's
the mountain,
no mechanic though, where, you know, you're in control of each of your hands and your feet, you know, yeah, and you're working your way up that way.
Well, screw that.
You're though. Very much walking and jumping. But so if you see a big mountain in the distance of a game, oftentimes those are they don't really exist, so to speak. They exist in what's called a skybox. So there's like a miniature three-dimensional model that exists, and they kind of the game map maker will put that off to the side, and then that projects around you, but you can never get out there and interact
with it.
Right,
so the equivalent of a map.
And sometimes, yeah, they'll use, you know, pictures or something. There'll be like a JPEG or something of a high res of a mountain or something. So of course it's actually rendering the geometry, and all the bushes and stuff you see on it are very much there. And so if you do go up it, you know, there are trees, there are animals, and stuff like that. And you just, yeah, you find your own path. You can't just go anywhere, but you look, and maybe there's enough, the rocks are shaped in such a way that there's foothold and stuff like that. Well,
and Sherpas too, right?
Chief Sherpas.
So what are these, because you said at the beginning that there was this squad you could have followed the whole way through.
Yeah.
Do you know, were you in a position to be able to tell, like, what they were doing independently of you once you split off from them? Like, would they progress
to the
level on their own?
Yeah, they were still doing stuff, yeah.
The whole time?
When I was up on the mountain, a helicopter came in. They were starting some shit over on a bridge, and then... there was a fight over there, and then it blew up some cars. Planes would fly through now and then, and so they're definitely out doing stuff, and you could meet up with them again. I think eventually I just entirely neglected them, and I think they all died.
Can they
at some point? Yeah.
Could they finish the mission without
no.
you?
No.
You could just sit on the mountain and do binoculars.
Contemplate.
Yeah. Everyone always asks that question, but it's like, do you really want someone to ever answer
no.
yes?
No. But I have to say that in Halo 3, every once in a while, like, you know, I'd be like fucking like jumping against a wall or doing something horrible. And then the other guys, all of a sudden it would be checkpoint complete. And I'd be like, oh, cool.
Nice.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
That's like the opposite of my experience. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So we have 10 minutes left.
All right.
8 minutes left.
Well, we got to stop a little early.
Did you want to talk about the docent on the ship? I remember you mentioning quickly like
docent.
Yeah, inspired by
as we left, there was an older guy who, you know, was a volunteer docent because the aircraft carrier is a museum, and he had been wandering around in there looking at the game, and it was just kind of weird. I was with one of the one-up show guys, and we were talking to him, and he's like, you know, this is just unbelievable. That thing that's pretty, you know, indistinguishable from real life right now. And he's like, and he immediately switched into the Columbine stuff. Like, I'm just worried, you know, at what point that's just not enough for you, and you got to go and do it in the school or something. And it was really strange because, of course, there we were on an aircraft carrier in a museum to combat and stuff, you know. And so, you know, I asked him, I was like, well, did you ever play Cowboys and Indians, you know, when you're a kid? Or did you, I mean, because in my era we had plastic guns or something, or if you can afford one, you take a stick or something. And I was like, I know even before that, all you needed was a branch. And you probably spent, I'm assuming, a large portion of your youth pretending you were shooting people and fighting stuff, right? And he was like, yeah, well, that didn't look that real, though. And I was like, but in your head, you're actually imagining you were doing it, though. And I was like, but my point is, I think males in society, you spend your youth growing up pretending you're in war or fighting or wrestling or even war.
And actually, I've yet to see a game that looks as real as how that looked to me when I was a kid, as far as in my imagination.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, I mean, the whole point ultimately is it's not that – it's not even comparing those two. It's just that, well – it's not going to make you. Let's say how many million copies of violent games get sold and how many times you have those instances. Let's just say, you know – or something else, and we'll save that debate for some time for another podcast. But let's just say it's not a matter of these guys are going to play Crisis and worry about you. But it sucked because it was really interesting talking to this guy, and it's kind of made you feel awkward too because you were there all, you know, in this privileged environment. And I was like, get the camera rolling, man. Let's interview this guy for the one-up show. Mm-hmm. This would be like a rad segment instead of just, you know, the usual. And no offense to them, because it was kind of like, I'm sure they'd have loved to too. It just like happened so quick, and we didn't want to go at that point after we left. I'm like, let's go hit that guy up again, ask him if he wants to be on tape. But it was just interesting, you know. I mean, just see this guy.
You should have all beat him up and then proven his point.
Yeah,
fuck you. They make us violent.
I think it's also weird that people never talk about the fact that if games ever got to the point of, like, say, okay, you have a game that's as realistic looking as Crysis, and you set it in a school where you can go shoot a bunch of people, like. Any normally, like, moral person is going to be repulsed. You would go in, shoot somebody, and be like, ugh, this is gross. Right. This is terrible. Yeah. Like, and that's, you know, when it's realism, as in you're a super soldier sneaking around on a mountain shooting people, like, it's a little different.
And even, you know, it was funny, before we even talked to the guy, I think we were already talking about some of the random videos out there on YouTube. And I don't mean, like, you know, the beheadings and stuff, but even stuff like military.net, where there will be, you know, an AC-130 gunship at night or something, or an Apache. And they're very much in gun cam, black and white, you know, taken from like massive distances, sometimes, you know, up to a mile or more. And when you see those, the moment it starts, your gut drops and you feel like your adrenaline goes and it puts you in fight or flight mode just watching those. I've never gotten anything even remotely like that playing any game ever. And yet here I am watching something that, you know, very much for all intents and purposes looks like it would be video game content because there's a crosshair, you know, the way when you're working the howitzer in AC-130 or something. And you see it, you just know, you're like, someone died there and it's mm-hmm. fucked up and you don't want to watch it and you put it down and you're like almost shaking, you know? Mm-hmm. It's a very, very, you know, awkward experience. I think most people have at least seen something like that on the internet, or even a scene of a fight, just two people in the street fighting or something, you know? Like a happy slapper, someone, you know, that's where you run around Europe and you just randomly slap someone upside the head. Yeah. And you see that and you like react in a different way. And it's like, dude, people's minds are sophisticated things and they're I think most of us, and that's the question. I mean, for a few cases, they're not. And then something goes wrong. But I'd say for just about everyone else,
I think the fear is that, like, if these become that real looking, that, like, more impressionable young kids or whatever, I don't know, you know, whatever the theory is, will play these and they won't learn that there is a difference between that and real. Like, we played, like, combat when we were growing up or whatever, mm-hmm. so. I could see where maybe someone who doesn't play these could get a little more afraid that, like, their 5-year-old.
I don't think so, because in a movie, it's even different. Say the difference between when you're watching Save It, Private Ryan, and again watching one of those videos, mm-hmm. it's still there, even though that's, perfect.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
Even though it's not interactive. I mean, that's, like, it looks real. They look like real guts. It looks like real gore.
I just think that might be where some of the fear that people, like, stems from.
Right.
Impressionable youth.
Like, some deep-seated part of your brain is, like, superbly capable of differentiating.
Well, right. If it wasn't. You know, the society wouldn't be functioning right now.
Right.
I mean, everybody is going home.
How many millions of copies of these games? Right. We would all be dead.
And not just the video games. Everybody is going home every night and watching violent TV or whatever. I mean, obviously, our brain can tell the difference.
Or some of the areas of the most heinous violence in the world right now, barring parts where to avoid the politics where the U.S. is involved.
Sure.
But there are parts in the world right now where there's extreme violence, and they're definitely not cultures that have the privilege of having all this access to violent media that we do, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just
even you know, aside from the old argument that people just always back and forth whether or not violence causes violence or whatever, violent entertainment, but this weird argument that has popped up in the past few years of, like, games train people to be killers.
That's
an amazing stretch of the imagination.
Robert found that out when we took him to the firing range.
I've discovered that a light gun is not very, very correlated to a real gun.
You were looking for the WASD keys on the gun.
Where's the left mouse button on this thing?
It's weird. I think it's just people that didn't grow up playing games. They see it and they think that somehow there's some level of realism there that there isn't, just because of the way they look. Mm-hmm. Like, it looks pretty real, but, like, play the game. You're clicking your fucking mouse.
We're obviously preaching to the choir here on the podcast.
Right, of course.
I mean, but, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway.
We came full circle.
We did.
Well, for the intro song. Now we got to get to the bottom of why kids masturbate to porcupines.
I've had that line in my head for like 24 hours. Thank you very much, John Elliott. Yeah.
I don't know what to say to that. I'll just goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jeff.
I'll think about it. I promised that before the break I'd talk about Neverwinter Nights 2. It didn't happen.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll do it next time. We're out of time. It's good.
Who's coming in? Who's kicking us out? Let our audience know who they should hate.
Oh, our boss. Our new boss, Simon Cox, Game Group VP of Content. Hate him.
Okay.
send angry email
to.
No, don't. Please don't. He's my boss.
You better watch it, man.
Please don't.
Jeff says you're a.
Yeah.
Send flowers.
Short version, Neverwinter Nights 2, Mask of the Betrayer. I finished it. It comes out in a week. I reviewed it for this magazine, and it is quite good. And I say that with great, not surprise, but I was a bit. Actually, I like Neverwinter Nights 2, but it had massive technical problems when it first came out. There have been 250 megabytes worth of patches and counting since Neverwinter Nights 2 shipped to try to fix all the original camera problems and bugs and everything. And they finally got it to where the base game is running pretty good. And now the expansion is out, and I played it, and I'm rushing because we have to quit. But the short version is it's a great campaign. I think it's the best campaign that Obsidian has made yet, and their output includes what? KOTOR 2, I think just that, KOTOR 2, Neverwinter 2, and now this. These guys are the refugees of Black Isle Studios. So these are the guys who made, who worked with BioWare on Baldur's Gate 1 and 2, and then on their own they made the Neverwinter Nights games, Planescape Torment. So their RPG pedigree is outstanding, and I don't feel like until now they've sort of hit it out of the park to the level that they did back in Black Isle, but I feel like this expansion is the closest they've come yet to kind of getting that back. So that's my review.
You know what? Let's find a way where we can come back and continue this after they use it, because Robert had – oh, he's right there. We are out. Here's Simon. We're done. Robert had that – you had your story about Texas Gun Shop and
– oh, yeah.
Texas Gun Shop story. Yeah. We're getting the hell out.
Another time.
We're done. We'll be back with more.
We out.
Next.
Halo 3 is coming, and Walmart is the fastest way to play. Gather your crew and head to Walmart when Halo 3 goes on sale at 12:01 a.m. on September 25th. With checkout lanes just for Halo 3, plenty of copies in stock, and Halo 3 dog tags while supplies last. Visit walmart.com/Halo 3 to customize your mission for obtaining Halo 3 and pass the word to your squad.